Well, on this long weekend, we have much to give thanks to the Lord for. He is a great God. And this morning, I want you to turn in your Bibles to Matthew chapter 6. You'll see the outline on the back of your bulletin. And I want to talk about what Jesus is obviously speaking about in this passage, and that is worry and anxiety, anxiousness. Worry is something that we do every day. We worry about something every day. And sometimes we just can't help it. Some of us are what they call worry warts. We just worry about things and everything that could possibly plague us. But we have lots of things to worry about. There's lots of issues in this day and age that we can get worked up about. And I want to ask you this morning at the outset, what have you worried about recently? I want you to think about that for a second. What have you worried about recently? What has been the cause of some anxiety in your life? Now, how is this worrying? Let's say you have a particular issue that you've been worrying about. How has this worrying affected other areas of your life? Affected your family life? Affected your life at work? Affected your sleeping patterns? How has that worrying affected things? And what has being worried about something distracted you from what is really important? I came across some stats. They'll come up on the screen behind me that show what an average person's anxiety is focused on. 40% of a person's anxiety is focused on things that will never happen. Isn't that astonishing? 40% of what you worry about is actually never going to happen. This is what this study found out. 30% of a person's anxiety is focused on things about the past that can't be changed. Wow, isn't that true in our lives? We worry about things that we're never going to be able to change. 12% is focused on criticisms or criticism by others, which are mostly untrue. 10% is focused on our health. 10% of our anxiety is focused on our health, which gets worse by worrying. And 8% is focused about real problems that will be faced. 8% of a person's anxiety is focused on real problems that are going to be faced. An expert wrote about the possible consequences of worrying and stress. And here is what this expert said. He said, every system in your body is affected by worry. In addition to raising blood pressure and increasing blood clotting, worry can prompt your liver to produce more cholesterol, all of which can raise your risk of a heart attack and stroke. Muscle tension can give rise to headaches and back pain and other body aches. Worry can also trigger an increase in stomach acid, which either slow or speed up muscle contractions in your intestines, which can lead to stomach aches and constipation and diarrhea and gas and heartburn. Sounds like a commercial for Imodium or Pepto-Bismol or something. But that's what worry can do to us. Worry can affect your skin. It can give you a rash or an itch. It can impact your respiratory system, and it can aggravate asthma. Growing evidence suggests that chronic worry can compromise your immune system, making you more vulnerable to bacteria, viruses, and perhaps even cancer. Now, when I read that, I was astonished. I thought, that's amazing that that can happen to us because we worry. Maybe some of you knew this already. Maybe some of you were up to speed on this. But what do? We sit here this morning and we know that we worry about things. And we're worked up about things. So what do? Well, there is a cure. Because when it comes to the Bible and Jesus, there always is a cure. And Jesus speaks about worry and how to prevent it in your life and in my life. So turn with me, as maybe you already have, to Matthew chapter 6. And I want to read verses 25 to 34 for you this morning. Verses 25 to 34 of Matthew chapter 6. For this reason, I say to you, this is Jesus speaking, I say to you, do not worry about your life as to what you will eat or what you will drink, nor for your body as to what you will put on. Is not life more than food and the body more than clothing? Look at the birds of the air, that they do not sow nor reap nor gather into barns, and yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not worth much more than they? And who of you, by being worried, can add a single hour to his life? And why are you worried about clothing? Observe how the lilies of the field grow. They do not toil, nor do they spin. Yet I say to you that not even Solomon in all his glory clothed himself like one of these. But if God so clothes the grass of the field, which is alive today and tomorrow is thrown into the furnace, will he not much more clothe you? You of little faith. Do not worry then, saying, what will we eat, or what will we drink, or what will we wear for clothing? For the Gentiles eagerly seek all these things. For your heavenly Father knows that you need all these things. But seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, and all these things will be added to you. So do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will care for itself. Each day has enough trouble of its own. Here in these verses, we find Jesus. He's about two-thirds of the way through his Sermon on the Mount. And as he preached to his disciples and the many that gathered with him on the mountain, we find these 10 verses in this text. 10 verses that I hope put us at ease this morning. If we are worried or worked up about something, I hope put us at ease. 10 verses that can truly shape the way we live and think if we start to put them into practice in our lives. And one of the greatest things about Jesus is that he does not want his people to be anxious. He does not want us to worry about things. He doesn't want us to get all anxious about anything. He is the all-powerful God. And he has supreme authority. And we know that. We know that in our hearts and we know that in our minds. And that knowledge should put us at ease, not make us more anxious. You know, one of the great things about God is that he doesn't need us to keep worrying about things in order to establish his power and authority. He has all the power and authority that he needs. And he doesn't need us to keep worrying about things so that he can show more of his power and authority in our lives. Now, the word worry, or worried in this text, is used in the New American Standard, the version that I read from this morning. It's used in the New American Standard about 5 times, these 10 verses. The idea behind this word worry used in this text means to be distracted. When I looked it up in the Greek, it means to be distracted. Now think about that for a second. When we begin to understand that, I think it puts a whole different spin on these words and this text. These things that Jesus is listing are actually distractions to you. And you think about how your worrying distracts you from what is really important. You're distracted from what you are really supposed to do. And what is that? What are we really supposed to do? Well, it's found in this text as well, to seek first his kingdom and his righteousness. But think about how much worrying distracts you from seeking first his kingdom and his righteousness. So the aim of what Jesus is saying in these verses is to free us from anxiety. He wants to free us from that worrying. And the main point of these verses is to show us how God wants us to be secure in him and not bound by worry or doubt or fear or uneasiness. And if you've placed your faith and trust in Jesus Christ and you know him as your personal Savior and are following the Lord in obedience, then his will for you this morning is that you not be anxious about anything. He wants you to enjoy a deep serenity and peace and ease in him. It doesn't mean that you're not going to have trials and tribulations. That's still going to be there. But he wants you to experience that peace that he can offer. Jesus spoke these words precisely for you and me this morning to help us overcome whatever is making you anxious. Each of us needs a word from the Lord this morning to remind us that he is the one who is Lord over all, that he is in charge of those issues and problems that we have. And he is the one who can take our worry and he can take our anxiety away. This text this morning gives us some very powerful reasons as to why we don't need to be anxious, including verse 25, which commands us. It commands us. It's not sayings. It's not some mutterings. It's not Jesus is flippantly saying some words. It's a command. And he says to us, do not be worried about your life. Verse 31, do not worry then saying, what shall we eat? Verse 34, which tells us, do not worry about tomorrow. Those are commands that Jesus is giving us. Because he knew the type of frame we are, the type of mind we have, and how easily we can worry about things. So Jesus tells those listening to him on the mount exactly what they are not to be worried or distracted about. And he tells us that this morning as well, and he begins to list them. So I want to go through that this morning. I want us to look at what our distractions are. What actually distracts us? What are the things that worry us? What distracts us from life? The first thing that Jesus tells the people is don't be distracted about the basic necessities of life. Namely, he says in this passage, food and drink. He says that in verse 25, and he says that in verse 31 again. And this is probably more of an issue for these people than for us. Probably many of the people Jesus was speaking to didn't have their cupboards full of food like we have today. Many of them probably didn't even know where they were going to eat after Jesus was finished speaking or what they were going to eat. They could have easily, on a daily basis, been distracted by this necessity. Now, for the most part, it's a little different for us today. For instance, how many of us were worked up over the lack of breakfast food in your cupboards this morning? How many of us were worried about that this morning? I'm guessing zero. None of us were worked up about what we were going to eat this morning because there was no food in the cupboard. Our cupboards are full. There's lots in the fridge. There are not too many times or too many of us in a situation where we are worried about food. In fact, I bet there's a good number here this morning that didn't even eat breakfast. I won't have you raise your hands this morning, but I bet there's a good number of you here this morning that didn't even eat breakfast. And we're not hurting, are we? And we're not thinking about, oh boy, I didn't have breakfast and now I'm really worried about lunch because I'm not sure where lunch is coming from or what I'm going to have. We're not worried about that. Jesus is saying to us today, don't worry or don't get distracted by the lack of necessities. Now, today in this North American culture and the standard of living, we have necessities like food and clothing, but other things are on the list as well. And this list can vary depending on your situation. But we have things like money. We have things like a house to live in, transportation, a job, how much money we have for retirement. Those are some of the necessities of life that we would have. And we tend to get worked up about those things, don't we? And Jesus knows this. He knows what it means to live in this day and age. And the problems that we have and the things that we worry about, just as he knew what it was to live in that day and age some 2,000 years ago when he preached this Sermon on the Mount. He is mindful of our existence. He is mindful of the things that we need, that are the basic necessities of life. He is not saying that we shouldn't have these necessities, these essentials of life. He knows that we need them. But he's saying, don't worry about them. Don't let them become a distraction in your life. Don't let them become such an issue in your life that it consumes you. And it takes you away from what is really, really important. So don't become so distracted, for instance, by how much money you need or want that it takes you to the place of, or that it takes the place of what is truly important. Don't let this whole money issue become such a distraction that everything in your life is focused around money and it takes priority in your life. That's where it becomes an issue and that's where it's wrong. And Jesus, in this passage, he helps ease our worries by giving us an example of the birds, just as he gave those people back then. And we can see that today. And Jesus reminds us that the birds, they don't sow or reap, yet they are well taken care of. I often sit in the mornings at my front window, and there's a robin's nest in my neighbor's tree, which is just at the corner of my driveway. And a robin had eggs and babies, and every morning you could see that robin, that fat robin, go down on the grass and start plucking worms out of my lawn. Lots of worms. I was thinking, man, there can't be any more worms in my lawn. This robin's taking them all. But this robin didn't start chirping at 4:30 in the morning, going, wow, I wonder where my next worm is going to come from. What if there's no more worms in Mr. Mix's yard? Then what am I going to do? He doesn't worry about that. He knows he's going to be taken care of. God shows us that in Scripture, that He provides. He provides for the birds of the air. And they don't sow, and they don't reap, but they're well taken care of. And what a perfect example that is. So it's so simple, but it's so deep. It's a perfect example of our lives and how we need not to worry about things. So first of all, don't be distracted by the necessities of life. Don't be distracted by the necessities of life. Secondly, Jesus says, don't worry about your clothes. He says to these people some 2,000 years ago in the Sermon on the Mount. In fact, three times in this passage, he mentions not to be worried about your clothing. Now, he's talking to an impoverished crowd. This is my guess. He's talking to an impoverished crowd. There may have been some people there that had money and were dressed very nice, but my guess is the majority of them were probably pretty poor. They didn't have a lot, and this obviously was an issue for them to worry about and be distracted about. Again, today, the majority of us don't have this worry. Our closets are full of clothes. We have our summer clothes and we have our winter clothes. And so what is Jesus saying to us today? Well, what we need to keep distracted from is what people think of us. Don't be distracted by what other people think of you. Now, just bear with me for a second because I'm going to explain it. And it's not so much about what is going on the outside as what is going on the inside. Now, how many of us were distracted this morning by what to wear to church? Looking across this crowd, I can see that many of you took time this morning to think about what to wear to church. You're nicely dressed. You're all looking good. This is great. It's nice to stand up here, see a nicely dressed crowd today. This is great. Was it a worry about what to wear to church? Maybe not. Was it a distraction to seeking first His kingdom? Maybe it was. I don't know. You see, we want to look good in front of people. And we want to look our best. At least most of the time, we want to look our best. Except when we know we don't have to go outside of our house and then we can let the curlers out or something. But we need to be careful because we can easily become distracted from what really matters. And it is then we have an issue. And as we think about this passage and how it relates to us today, I think this is what Jesus is addressing. It extends beyond our outward appearance. Let me explain this. If we are so concerned about our outward appearance, then we have some issues going on the inside. If we are so concerned about our outward appearance, about the clothes that we're wearing, and that we get worried about it, then we have some issues on the inside. When we are more concerned about pleasing man than God, then we have to readjust our life and get reprioritized. Man will always get things wrong. And if we're worried about what we look like so that we're pleasing man, then we have some things that we need to work through. Our take on things is skewed to what the Lord really looks at. Now, there's an account in Scripture from the Old Testament that I think is so telling in this whole area of how the Lord looks at us. And it's taken from the life of David. And Samuel has come, and he's surveying Jesse's sons. And his eyes take him to Eliab. And it tells us in verse 6 of 1 Samuel chapter 16 that Samuel thought, surely he's the guy. He has got to be the guy that's going to be the next king of Israel. And he thought, I'm going to anoint him. Now Eliab was, from what I understand, this big guy. He had a big appearance. He's big in lots. He had a commanding appearance. But the Lord says to Samuel in that account, he says, "No, Samuel, not him. I have rejected him." And then the Lord says these words. He says, "For God sees not as man sees. For man looks at the outward appearance, but the Lord looks at the heart." And Samuel has to step back for a second. And he has to think about what he's doing here. And then he steps back and the Lord directs him over to David. He anoints David. Now here is where we need to bring this whole point home. You cannot let what other people think of you become such a worry in your life that you are distracted by what is really important. What is really important is what God thinks of your heart. It's what God thinks of your heart. It's what's going on inside. And then Jesus gives us another example from nature. And he takes our attention to that of flowers and how God adorns them with his beauty. And this is a time of year that we see lots of flowers in our yards and in the parks that we may go walking through. Flowers are at their fullest. But we cannot let man think, we cannot let what man thinks of us become such a distraction that it takes us away from seeking first his kingdom and his righteousness. God will take care of us, and we have to follow him and his will for our lives. So don't be distracted by what other people think of you. Thirdly, Jesus says to us, don't worry or don't be distracted by the future. Verse 34, he says, "So don't worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will take care of itself. Each day has enough trouble of its own." Now talk about being relative to our day and age. But in this society in which we live, we are bombarded with what will happen down the road. We have global warming. You can read this in the paper at any point in the week, and you're going to see issues to get us all worked up about something. We got global warming, then we got terrorist attacks, then we have imminent pandemics that are on their way. And then there's the whole financial side of life, of putting enough money away so that we can make ends meet when we retire, and old age security funds running out, and the worrying can go on and on, and I'm not saying that you shouldn't do that, but we don't need to worry about them, but we are bombarded with that, with society, of all of that. But what's the point when Jesus says to us, don't worry about tomorrow? Well, let me give you one example. I want to think about what your life could be like if you didn't worry about, let's say, what was going to happen at work on Tuesday. Tomorrow's a holiday. What's going to happen at work on Tuesday? Let's say that you didn't worry about that. You're not worried about what's going to happen at work on Tuesday. Now, at some point, all of us have been in the worry about work tomorrow boat. There's always some issues going on. We have sleepless nights because we're awake, worrying about something at work. We think about how distracting that is to your life. Think about how much time is eaten up by you worrying about what's going to happen tomorrow. It's lots, isn't it? We have to make a conscious effort not to be distracted by the future. And I say conscious effort because it will not come to us naturally. We have to purposely say, I'm not going to worry about things down the road because it takes me away from what is really important. And God's word tells me not to do that. Only God knows what is going to happen tomorrow. Only he knows the direction for our life. So we need to rest in him and work through trials and troubles of the day and not be distracted about tomorrow. So what is the cure for all of this? How do we keep focused when we have these distractions and these worries in our lives? I want to give you a few pointers this morning in closing, just three of them in this text. This text gives us all the direction that we need. And just a few pointers this morning. He says in verse 33, he says, in all of this, seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, and all these things will be added to you. Well, that's great. But how do we go about doing that? How do we seek first His kingdom? And how do we seek first His righteousness so that I can get to the place where I don't have to worry about anything? Well, I want to give you three ways. The first way, if you want to seek His kingdom and His righteousness, is we need to get our minds in the game. Yogi Berra said this. Yogi Berra was a baseball player, by the way, in case some of you didn't know that. The baseball legend once said, 90% of the game is half mental. I knew some of you, it'd take a while for some of you to get that. 90% of the game is half mental. Now, I'm not saying that that's what we need to do. But getting our minds in the game means reading the Bible. It means praying. It means talking to Him and taking all of the day's events to Him. Then you begin to understand His kingdom and His righteousness. When your mind is saturated with God's Word, when your mind is filled with verses from the Bible, when you are thinking about something that's coming up at work, and you can apply some scripture to it like this one here in Matthew chapter 6, that's getting your mind in the game. Then you begin to understand His kingdom and His righteousness. And this is paramount to us knowing what God wants us to do and how to follow His will and not to worry about things. If our minds are focused on Him, we will not be distracted by the things of the world that can eat us up. Isaiah 26:3 says, "The steadfast mind you will keep in perfect peace." The steadfast mind focused on Jesus Christ. Our minds need to be firmly implanted in Christ, steadfast in Him. And then what happens? We will experience that perfect peace. It doesn't mean our trials or things that can cause us worry won't happen. But as our minds are absorbing His Word, as we are praying with our minds focused on Him, we're going to have that peace that takes away from the distractions around us. But we need to be proactive in taking the necessary steps to nurture that relationship. So we need to get our minds in the game. The second way we can go about seeking His kingdom is to get our eyes focused on Him. Get your mind in the game. Secondly, get your eyes focused on Him. Hebrews 12:2 says, "Let us fix our eyes on Jesus, the author and perfecter of our faith." Now, from the time we get up in the morning to the time we close them at night, our eyes are always focused on something. They are focused on what we eat. They're focused on the road that we're driving on. They're focused on the computer at work. They're focused on the TV. They're always focused on something. I have really bad eyes. I need glasses. I wear contacts from time to time. Without glasses or contacts, everything is blurry. Absolutely blurry for me. My eyes started going on me when I was about in grade 6. And I remember squinting at the blackboard and going like this so I could see better. And it was getting harder and harder for me to see things. I remember my grade 6 science teacher goes, "Mix, do you need glasses?" I'm like, no, I don't. And so then I went home and told my parents, "I think I need some glasses." It became increasingly harder for me to see things. And if I ever lost my glasses, I'd be in rough shape. And I'd be probably tripping over things. I couldn't focus on things properly. I'd have to hold things really close to my nose. If I had a conversation with you, I'd have to have you about here. And that's like, woo, you're in my personal space way too much. But, you know, sometimes in our spiritual lives, we walk around like that. Like we're not wearing glasses because we can't see. And our eyes aren't focused on Him and we're in a blur. And so we're tripping over things. And we're walking into areas that we shouldn't be walking into. And we're going down paths that we shouldn't be going down. Because we can't properly see. Because we're not fixing our eyes on Jesus. And you think about fixing your eyes on Jesus, the author and perfecter of our faith. And you apply that to situations in your life, that come your way that can cause you worry? If you're focused on Jesus instead of focused on the problem, how much better is it going to be? You're going to have that perfect peace. Scripture tells us, keep our eyes focused, fixed on Jesus. And if our eyes are always fixed on Him, then we will be seeking His kingdom and His righteousness. We're going to have that 2020 vision for living. And we will not be distracted by the worries of the world. Well, the third way to go about seeking His kingdom is to get our ears listening to His voice. Now, this is probably one of the toughest things to do in our life, because it means that we kind of need to sit down and we need to actually stop and listen to Jesus and His Holy Spirit speak to us. And probably for the majority of us here this morning, we don't spend a lot of time listening to God. We might talk to Him and we might tell Him our problems, but when it comes to actually listening to Him, we probably don't spend a lot of time doing that. This whole idea of spending time listening to God just seems so unreal. Why can't He speak to me when I'm just driving my car? Why can't He talk to me then? Or why can't He talk to me when I'm watching my child play hockey? That's a great time because I can watch my kid and we can have this great conversation going on. He can talk to me then. I don't want to just sit down in a chair and listen to God talk to me. I don't have time for that. That's what we think. That's what we think, our lives are too busy for that. Well, just, I want you to take a look at Jesus' example. I'm just going to read through some scriptures this morning to show you what Jesus did as an example for each of us in the New Testament. In Matthew 14:23, it says, He went up on a mountainside by Himself. He went up on a mountainside by Himself. Mark 1:35 says, very early in the morning, while it was still dark, Jesus got up, left the house, and went off to a solitary place. Luke 4:42 tells us, at daybreak, Jesus went out to a solitary place. Here is where Jesus continued to get His encouragement. He continued to get His power. He continued to have the reinforcement that He needed from His Heavenly Father for the mission of why He was sent to this earth. Do you need that in your life this morning? I do, and I bet you do too. Can you do it on the fly? No, you can't do it on the fly. You need to spend that time alone with God, talking to Him. Perhaps one of the most compelling verses that drives me in this and that comes from Scripture is found in Psalm 46:10, where it says this, "Be still and know that I am God." How can we be still if we're flying around being as busy as we can get? We can't. We need to be still. And we need to take that time. Summer is a great time to practice this. You should have time this summer to sit in your backyard and just soak in God. Just listen to His voice. If we are going to listen to God, if we are going to seek His kingdom, we need to be still and we need to find that solitary place where we can get our ears listening to His voice. Jesus closes with these words, "And all these things shall be added unto you." Now here is the promise in all of this. We seek first His kingdom, we seek first His righteousness, and all these things will be added unto you. What things? All the things that consume us, whether it's physical or emotional or spiritual or relational or financial, all these things will be added to you when you begin to think about and see and hear His kingdom and His righteousness. This morning, Jesus' words tell us not to worry. Not to worry about what's coming up. Not to worry about the necessities of life. Not to worry about what people think of us. Let us, as faithful followers of Christ, move our heads and our eyes and our ears to seek His kingdom, to seek His righteousness. Let us not worry or be distracted by what is going on around us, but continue to look to our faithful God who leads us triumphantly. Let's pray. Lord, I thank you this morning that you are Lord of all, that you are Prince of Peace. And Lord, that we can come to you with all our worries and all our distractions, and we can lay them at your feet. And Lord, I pray that this week, as we have situations that come into our lives, that we would remember these words about not to worry, but not to be worked up about them. But Lord, that we would think about what you have said, and that we would go to your word, and we would seek first your kingdom and your righteousness. That we, Lord, we get our minds in the game, and that we get our eyes fixed on you. And Lord, that we would have ears that are listening to your voice. Lord, thank you that we can look into your word and gain insight and knowledge from it. But Lord, I pray that it would move from our heads to our hearts. And Lord, that we would apply it and we'd be guided by it. So Lord, we thank you for this in Jesus' name. Amen.